So I think we were discussing KNAS. I want to finish just a point or two on KNAS very quickly, and then we'll move on to Harshad. Okay, so we have last week's Mar Mikolos, and thank you for this week's. I know they came a little late, but you know, it's that time of year when you don't have any control over your time. Okay, so last week we talked about Knas. I wanted to say a few more things about that quickly. That's the Gemara here on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, just to remind everybody. The Gemara wants to know, when it comes to Shvuas Eidos, whether or not we treat Knas like Mamon. In other words, if you impose a Shvua on Eidim, if they come to court and they testify, you'll win your Knas case, let's say, and they refuse, they lie, later they admit that they lied, their lie cost you the ability to collect knas, which is translated into real money, right? And I'm using that term, that phrase, you know, intentionally. It's translated into real money. Part of the question is whether it is money, conceptually. So the question is, why would there be even a question in the Gemara, right? In the end of the day, we understand that Shvuas Eidos is a result of lying, of refusing to testify, lying about your knowledge, and that lie being consequential in causing a loss to the other party.
Why is there not a retrial?
Retrial?
Yeah, once you...
Kim Chigit Shuvin Chozer Magid.
That's it.
Yeah. For the Eidim, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's why, you know, that's also why once they say that they don't know testimony, in Shvuas Eidos as opposed to Shvuas HaPikadon, or Shvuas Eidos Chutz LeBezdin, they can only be chayv one korban too. Because even if they would change their mind, it wouldn't help. Right, the second time. So that's just Kfiras Torah B'Alma. Either way, the Gemara has a suffix about this, whether Majbeire Knas is chayv or not. And again, it's strange to think that it should matter, I mean that it's knas and not mamon, if in the end of the day, the effect is the same, namely the silence of the Eidim cost the Tobeya, a victory. And yet, this is the Gemara's Safek, not only it's Safek, but the Rambam Paskins this way. Rambam Paskins that Majbiya Eide Knas is Pater Mishvuas Eidos. So the question is why? This is the Gemara that we read. So the Gemara said, I'm not going to go through the whole thing again, but Lo Tiboylach. Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon had a very limited view of the difference between Knas and Mamon. His view was that whenever Edom come, they're going to be Mechayev Knas. And the din of Moda B'Knas Patur only means that you cannot be Mechayev Knossos exclusively on the basis of Hodas Baldin. But even if the Hodas Baldin preceded the testimony, right, it makes no difference. The testimony is still going to be effective. And therefore, the gap between Knas and Mamon for Blazer Rab Shimon is not non-existent, but it is very narrow or very small. And consequently, for Blazer Rab Shimon, it seems like a davar pashut that there would be a chiyuv korban shvuas eitz. That's what the Gemara says. Aliba, Blazer Rab Shimon, lo tibaylach, da'amar yabau eidim v'ya'idu. Because he says, whenever the Eidim are ready to come to testify, we're going to listen to them. And therefore, the fact, the din of Moda B'Knas Patur is an extremely limited halach. Ki tiboy lach alibid Rabbanon da'amri Moda B'Knas v'achkach ba'u Eidim Patur. We're asking, according to the Rabbanon, who hold that Moda B'Knas v'achkach ba'u Eidim are Patur, meaning if the Hodah precedes the testimony of the Eidim, then the testimony of the Eidim is ineffective. Right? But as we pointed out, even then, this Gemara seems to be very challenging, because the Gemara goes on to explain, Rabbanon dehasam kiman sfir lehu, what do the Rabbanon about Moda B'Knas Patur, what do they think in the world of Shvuas Eidos about the din of Grama? Do they hold an ilay mekir of Lazar Rab Shimon of the previous staff, the Hacha, right, if they think Davar Gorn the Mamon is Kamamon Dami, then certainly they cannot argue that moda beknas, that mashbiyeh de knas, is potter. Because if Adam's silence, which contributes to, but isn't exclusively responsible for, a loss, is still enough to trigger a chiyuv karban, then certainly when they're absolutely responsible for the loss, that would be the case. So the Gemara says, Ella kirabanan dahacha. If they hold like the Rabbanan, who think that, again, Shuas Eidus requires a real loss, not just contributing to a loss, then my, what's the din? Kivin de ilu moda miftar lav mamona kakafrale, odil mahashtami ala odi. So this is the Gemara's subject. The question is, does the fact that moda beknas is patur mean something here? Or, the other side of it is, the hodah didn't take place here. So whatever hodah's impact is, right, in this particular case, is no hodah. Now, are we interested in hodah befoal, in which case it's absent here, and there should be a chiyuv korban shvuas eidos? Or does the din of moda beknas patur reflect something about the factors here that is significant even in the absence of a hodah? Right? The din of hodah characterizes knasos in a manner that is impactful to the application of this din. I said that in a very general way, intentionally, because I don't want to prejudice, you know, what that means. So there are two basic interpretations of what that line or what that might mean. Again, just to make clear the problem. The problem is, why do we care about moda beknas being patur in a case where everybody agrees there was no hodah, and therefore the Edim are still 100% exclusively responsible, right, for their being or not being a knas? Right now, when these Edim are standing in court deciding whether to tell the truth or to lie, there is 100%, right, at their feet, we lay the result of, you know, chiyuv or patur. So why does moda beknas matter? That's the question. And not only does the Gemara have a safek, as I say, but we pask in this way. So what does it mean? So what we saw last week is that there are two perspectives. One is that of Rashi and the Rivagash, who take these words very seriously. Does moda beknas patur dictate that knossos is lav mona kakafarle? It does not have a shame momon. The assumption being that in order to qualify for korban shvuas eidos, it's not enough that the silence of the Edim or the lie of the Edim cost him money, right? It has to formally, officially, conceptually be designated as a monetary loss. In other words, the amount of money that is lost is not what's relevant. It's the categorization, the classification of it as a monetary loss, which is equally indispensable for Chiyuv Korban Shvuas Eidos. That's a very big chiddush. You know, that formality would be ma'akev. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara, that's how the Rebbe Gash reads the Gemara. And then what's the other side? So possibly the other side, certainly the way Rashi understands it, Odil Mahashta Mi'ala Odi is, no, knossos, again, you could have said one of two things. You could have said the other side is an other side in understanding knossos, or it's the other side in understanding shvuas eidos. Right? The way Rashi understands it is it's the other side in understanding knossos. In other words, if knossos is not a shame mammon, even though the effect in dollars and cents is the same anyway, right, then there'll be no shuas eidos l'kula alma. The debate is whether moda beknas patur is some sort of an extraneous or aberrational kind of halacha, or the din of moda beknas patur characterizes the total concept or category of knasos. That's the debate in this Gemara, according to Rashi, possibly according to the Rimigat. The other possibility is everybody agrees that knas is not mamon as a classification, But maybe the debate revolves around the requirements of Karban Shvuas Eidos. Does it depend on the shame Mamon, or does it depend on Hefsed Mamon Befoa? And that would be very consistent with other things that we've seen all year long. What about Eide Misa and Eide Sota and Kiblo Alai in all directions, and the other direction, Mesachik Bakuvia, and so on and so on. Okay. So this is a very critical Gemara in Shas, according to this reading of the Sugya. The other reading is the reading of the Rambam, Parak Tes Halacha Daled, where the Rambam obviously wanted to avoid this perspective, and I was suggesting that there may be one reason is enough for him to avoid it, because there are two assumptions here. One is that Knossos are not Mamon, and two, that we care, right? Namely, we don't care about Befoa, we care about the conceptualization and classification. It's enough to disagree with any of those, each of these, or one of these assumptions to argue on the analysis and to argue on the Perush. But it's possible, there's good reason to think that the Rambam might have been, in my opinion, might have been uncomfortable with both assumptions. Number one, the assumption that you need a shame mamon as opposed to hefsed mamon befoal. Rambam's a big hefsed mamon befoal person in Shavuos Eidos, which doesn't mean that he isn't also someone who requires shame mamon, but I wouldn't be surprised if the heavy emphasis on befoal, right, didn't imply that. Secondly, as I noted, in my opinion, in the world of Knossos, the Rambam is particularly one who narrows the differences between Mamon and Knossos. So he might not have been very comfortable with the idea that you need a shame Mamon Dafka formally for Shavuos Eidos, and he might not have been so comfortable with the idea that shame Knoss per se is different than shame Mamon. Okay, so what did the Rambam suggest as an alternative? Something equally mechudash, frankly, and with implications, and that is, the way he read the Gemara was, that in a knas, the Edom are never fully responsible. They always are just collaborating with another factor. And that other factor is the kfira, or maybe another way to say it would be the ishtika, or the ihoda, right, of the defendant. He cooperates with the Edim and contributes somewhat to his own obligation by his lie. Again, that is very mechudat. That's what the Rambam said. That's these words in the Rambam. V'chein ha-mashbe'e de-knasa kofer p'turin mishvos eidos v'mtei shem kide manitva v'hoda v'knas yiftar milushalim. If he had come first and admitted, he would have been patur. V'apal pishabo ha-edim Achakein ve'idu, even if they come later, Moda B'Knas is patur, don't paskin like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. The Nimsu Ha'edim, this is the key part of the Chiddush of the Rambam, Nimsu Ha'edim lo chibu ze be'idusan levada. Turns out, then, that the Edim alone are not responsible for this chiyuv. Elei dusan im kfiras ha'nitva hi ha'mechayev esosan. It's a combination of the Edim and the kfira of the nitva. He's hoisted partly by his own petard, by his kfira. Right? Had he been moda and told the truth, he would have been potter. The hoil bim hoda lo toil edusan im kafir ba the nishbu p'turim. Had he been forthright, right, they would not have been effective, and therefore, when they deny knowledge, right, they are not exclusively the responsible parties. That's an amazing Kiddush. Now again, the reason it's such an amazing Kiddush is because typically we don't look at Moda B'Knas Patur as being a din that Kfiras HaKnas is Chelek Min Achiv, or that it takes away from the Chiyuv Ha'ed. Typically the way we look at it is there's something called Moda B'Knas, which is Poter, if it precedes the Eidos, or Moda B'Knas, you know, disrupts the ability of Bezdin or the Edim or both or one or the other, right, to be mechayev. But not that kfiras hanidon or hanitva is a factor in the effectiveness of edim. I mean, that's, those two things are factually the same and conceptually, again, very different. If you look at motive knas patur as a poter or as something which disrupts the psak or the edus, then the emphasis is on the exceptional case, namely when there's a hodah. But we wouldn't consider the typical kfira, right, itself to be a factor. You wouldn't say, oh, his kfira is a factor in his own chiyuv. Factually, it's true that he had he not been kofar, he wouldn't be chayiv. But typically what we say is, well, if he's moda, then he'll be poter, atzmo. Or if he'll be moda, he'll dictate that there's no asher yashir in Elohim. So the Rambam's perspective here is a whole different take on the din of moda b'knas pot. So that's what we saw. Then we went on from there to discuss, very quickly, the relationship between this question, right, and this now is a dual question, right, a two-part question, right? Number one, is the shame knas different than the shame mamon of the Rimigash Rashi perspective? Number two, do we look at kfiras hanitva, right, as a contributing factor, and moda b'knas patur is kind of being the natural, state of things, the default in a way, right, or vice versa? Those are two interesting questions about how we look at knossos and how different they are than mamon. So what is that question, how is that question connected to the other question, which is the question of whether Bezdin, right, or the Maisa triggers knossos? Meaning, Asher Yarshiun, going back to the same limud and same special din, Asher Yarshiun Elohim velo amarshia esatzmo. Right, so one could take it more narrowly, and I believe the Rambam mostly did, and that is that what it means is that there are conditions in which there's a patur. Or, according to the Rambam, we have to go a little further, right, his kfira is partly responsible for his chiyuv. Okay? But at the end of the day, that's a far cry from saying that knas is generated by bezin. We're not saying that at all. Right? Or no, the words Asher Yarshiun Elohim, or the din of Asher Yarshiun Elohim, are built on the perspective that Bezdin is Mechayiv Knossos. Now again, why would it even be so? I guess for the same reason that for Rashi and the Rimigash, there can be a view that it doesn't have a Shem Mamon, and for the reason that for the Rambam, right, Kfira is considered a contributing factor and the Edom aren't 100% Mechayiv Mamon in Knossos to begin with. Namely, the fact that the knossos are not a quid pro quo, right? Knossos are always not correspondent to the action, let's say, that is their trigger, or to the chiyuv. We're always talking about something which, or almost always talking about something which is not a natural chiyuv. That if I steal somebody's money or I damage their property, right, it's obvious that I need to pay them. And if for some reason I don't have to pay them, that needs to be explained. That's quid pro quo. It's just, tit for a tat. It's just, a fair, equitable way to run a society. You caused me $1,000 loss, if you really caused it for me, right, then you should pay me $1,000. That's very reasonable. But when it comes to knossos, right, where we're not talking about quid pro quo. Right, we're talking about kefel. We're talking about dalad v'hei. Right, if we're talking about shloshim shel eved, it isn't what the eved's worth. If you're talking about being yotzei v'shein v'ayin, right, that's not correspondent. So the only ones that might be more correspondent, and this is something to talk about next year perhaps, is chatzi nezek tam. Right, because there too, it's not so clear. Right, tam chatzi nezek. So you might say, well, I mean, you're getting away with murder because you're only paying half. But the half that you're paying, is b'makom, the damage that is connected to you. But that's only if you look at chatzi nezek as a kind of a chiddush that you're not paying nezek shalem. Right? If you take the language of the Gemara literally, and we'll see next year whether this should or shouldn't, but the way the Gemara describes palga nizka knasa is that basically, in the case of Karen, you shouldn't pay anything because you're really not responsible at all. You have this, you know, crazy animal, this animal that's acting out. He's not following, proper animal etiquette, as we would expect. We treat them nicely, they'll treat us nicely, that whole, narrative. So the point is that he's not playing along. So this is, from a Shmira point of view, this just isn't normal behavior. So you're not Chayiv Karen at all. The only reason you're Chayiv half, right, that you should be Chayiv zero. That's the real idea behind Palga Niska Knasa. It just isn't so simple because it's not so obvious that you should be Chayiv only zero or zero. So, and for this reason, we'll see again more next year, the Ravid happens to be of the opinion that Palga Niska Knasa is treated differently than other Knasas. Probably. Again, it's very Meduyak in the language of the Ravid that we'll see in just a minute. And it's explicit in the Ravid in Bava Kamma in a few places. The point is that most Knossos, with the possible exception of, a few, you could make the case that there really aren't Mamon, or that Edom really shouldn't be able to 100% be Mechai of them, or that Bezdin should really be the only way that you can trigger them, not just trigger them, that you can create them, because they don't really correspond to the damage that was done. Right?
Why did the Gemara here reference that at all? So they were showing that believe that Bezdin is such a central element in the Mechai of Knas. Why doesn't the Gemara emphasize that role?
Well, I guess that's a very good question. Again, what I'm really trying to suggest is I'm wondering aloud, I guess, whether or not the Rimigash and Rashi, perspective isn't really that perspective. Just not articulated, so clearly. I mean, what does it mean to say that Knas doesn't have a shame moment? Again, do you have to go so far as to say that Bezin created it? Put it this way. If Bezin is what creates it and not the trigger action, then we can even better understand why there's no shame bubble. I'll say it that way. I don't know whether they have to say it in the other direction. That's, I guess, maybe just to leave more flexibility. Maybe that's why the Gemara didn't say it, because they also wanted to leave more flexibility. Maybe they knew that, maybe the way to look at it is that, behind the scenes, there's always been in the sugyas and shas, in the global picture, mixed evidence, on this question. Whether Bezin is Mechayev or the trigger action is Mechayev, etc. So this Gemara wanted to try to, that's my suggestion, this Gemara wanted to try to kind of bypass that hot button, argument, albeit, with a more moderate parallel. Right? In other words, even if you don't want to go so far as to say that Bezin is Mechayev Knossos as opposed to the trigger action, at minimum we might say the moderate form of that, which is that there's no shame mamon here. So I think that's my thinking. Anyway, so that I think is a big issue. And that's why I was quoting a few makoros in the end, and I'm just going to get back to this just for a minute. The Rambam is going to have a parak base, halakha yud base, which is a bayit delo ifshita in the Gemara in Bava Kamma. It's a certain case. The Gemara there wants to know, when it comes to dalet vehei, whether or not there has to be, let's say, tiru for continuity between the object status at the time of the geneva and its status at the time of the tvicho mechira. So let's say you stole an animal and then you severed its limb, right, and then you sold it. Right? Does that matter or not? Or other stakos of that sort. So the Gemara there in Bava Kamma doesn't resolve the question. It's a bayit lo ifshita. And the Rambam says, well, it's a bayit lo ifshita. The Gemara didn't conclude. Therefore, it's a safek. And motzi mechaver, all of a raya. We don't know that we can collect from you, therefore we shouldn't be collecting. However, says the Rambam, since that's all it is, meaning it's only a problem of motzei mechvel avaraya, im tapas lo mafkin mine. If the other guy grabs it, we don't know if we can take it away from him either. Then the Ravid said, that's the Rambam. Then the Ravid said, Amar Avraham lo mechavrali, I don't think this is correct. The tfisa mahani baha, I don't think tfisa works in this case. The kivan de yoser mimashi hizik, who, this is the diuk that I meant. Since the amount, meaning the knas, is more than the value of the damage, does he mean by that to exclude short time? Hard to know. So there's a language that the Ravid uses is a language of the Mishnah and Bava Kamma later on in the second parak. But the is the inference that there's a difference between knossos beyond and knossos beneath? In this Gemara itself, though, I should note, in Shavuos, in the Mishnayos, the Gemara seems to be treating all knossos the same. That might be another reason, you know, why here they're focusing on Mamon versus Knas instead of Bezdin versus the Maisa, because they are treating Chatzinezek here the same way that they're treating everything else. I'm speculating again. So, but anyway, the language of the Ravid is fascinating, and Hilchos Avodim says it very similarly. Lo merchavali d'tfisa mahani, d'gbaha, d'kima d'yosem yimashi hiziku, ain't koach l'chaivo ela l'bezdin. This is one of the strongest statements you'll ever see, that knossos are created by Bezdin. Ubedin pasuk belo safek. It's a very beautiful language. Definitively, decisively. Right? If Bezdin doesn't know, then there is no chi of knas bevadai. Now again, I don't think you have to say that, but I think it's very compelling to say that. Not mukhrach, but very strongly suggested. What the Ravid is saying is you can have a safek psak or a safek, you know, when the objective circumstances generate chiyuvim. They say, oh, we don't know the law, either it is or it isn't. You know, kamish maya galya. Rabban Shalom knows, you know. But if part of this law is that you need the endorsement, the official decree of Bezdin behind it. So if Bezdin doesn't know, you know, then there's no such thing as a suffix that Ravid is saying. There's no suffix psak to create knas. There can only be a vadai psak. So anything less than a vadai is vadai not. That's what the Ravid is saying. There's no tfisa here. It has to be Bezdin creates a chiyu with bidin pasuk below suffix. Is that kibin shesafek huetzom eich gomru esdino? So every word is beautiful in the Ravid. But the Ravid, Rambam doesn't believe in this. Not here, not in Hilchos Avodim, not when it comes to Kefel and the Sugyan Amafkin and Sugyan in Asholeach, and when it comes to, again, Shor Niskal, a few other Sugyans. It seems like the Rambam in many places thinks that the distinction between Knas and Mamon has nothing to do with the Koach of Bezdin. And I think that's one of the reasons that he had to find a very different read in our Gemara. So this is also connected to the question of how you define shame, bar chiyuv. I think we discussed it last week, the Sugyan Makos. But I think what we didn't discuss is this is also the Sugyan Meruba, right, where we say that if a person steals an object, right? So the question is how to assess it, its value. Like somebody stole a watch, right? Let's say the watch fluctuates in value, right? From the time you stole it, you know, to the time you come to court, and certainly by the time the court rules. Let's say the price went up in value, down in value, as the case may be. Right? It might make a difference if it's up or down, but that's not for now. So the Gemara says that Omar Rav, Samachem and Al, this is the Gemara that I put here. On the second page, Gufo Marav Karen Kain Shaganav. This is on page 2 of last week's 2 of 2, line 12. Gufo Marav Karen Kain Shaganav Tashlum Kefal Tashlum Arba V'Chamisha Kishas Amad V'Din. Right? Why is that? Why should that be? Karen is Kain Sheganav. The watch and the Karen is assessed according to the moment of the theft. And the Kefel and the Dalet V'hei by the value of the original object at the time of the Gemar Din. Seems, either way, it seems like a very challenging psak. Mimanasha could be one or the other. So that is 2 days in the row. I mean, Bali Tosis, you have to look at the Rishonim. I just quoted the Rosh here because it's convenient because he has both deos. So look at number 14, 15. The first answer the Rosh gives is the answer is the view of Bali Tosis, which is that there's a, the Gemara has a Gzeres HaKasuv. They don't think the Gzeres HaKasuv was necessary for Karen Kain Shaganav. So it must be that the Gzeres HaKasuv is to teach you Kefal Dal Vehe Kashas HaMadav Adin. Which means that fundamentally you should say Kefal Dal Vehe also Kashas Ganeva. But Torah gave you a break, let's say, if it went down in price anyway. Okay. The second answer of the Rosh, then the Rosh says, Va'od, moreover, the Svarahu, the Karen is Chai B'Shaz Geneva, Ava Kepel Dal Dehelo Mechai Van Shasa Madabedin, Di Moda Miftar, B'Shasa Madabedin, the Kepel Kamash Muso, Keshavio, Ata Keshig Mardin, Ava Din Dal Dehelo, Shomin, Kamosha Shom B'Shaz Ticha Bechira, Ta'i Shai Ta Kamachai. So, this is, the Rosh, giveth and taketh a little bit, but basically before he taketh, he basically says, the second view is, why Kefal Dalet V'hei Kashas HaMadav Adin? Because that's the critical moment. Because since Moda B'Knas is Patur, right, Bezdin, right, or the Shas Gemar Din of Bezdin, right, is critical for the Chiv. Say, what does one thing have to do with the other? The Din of Moda B'Knas Patur is whatever it is. It's the Rambam's Pshad, it's the whatever it is, it disrupts the whatever explanation you want again. The Rush is basically saying that halacha works better if Bezdin or the Psak of Bezdin is Machria and is Kobeya and is a critical moment. The problem is that then as I say when I say he giveth and he taketh away, then he goes on to say, oh by the way, even though the Gemara makes it seem like Kefo and Dalet V'hei are identical, right? And they're both knossos, that makes a lot of sense. You should know there's a difference. Kefal really does depend on Gemar Din, and Dalet V'hei depends on Shas Tvichu V'chim. That's a tricky kind of a thing. The truth is that this, when we learned Meruba some years back, we talked about it, but Dalet V'hei is a tricky thing because on the one hand, it's one of the most distant, from the original trigger action, meaning the Geneva. Right, it's 4 or 5 multiple. It's not even 2. 2 you could say like, oh, kasha zomam la sos lachim. It's like a back at you, You wanted to do this to him. You wanted him to lose $100. Not only are you going to have to pay him back the 100, so then you're all even. Why should it be all even? You should lose $100. But why should you lose $300? Right? So in that sense, it's much bigger penalty, more distant from. But in addition to that, it's the rare knas where there's a separate trigger action. Right, typically, the knas is the same. Either there's only one trigger, or it's the same. There's only one chiyuv, like in shloshim shalavit or shein ba'ayin. There's one action, right? Or there's an action which triggers mamon and knas, ones and pitui. Boshes and pagam and knas, and geneva has karen and kefa. But tvicho mechira is a separate, it's connected. The main Gneva ain't Tvicho Mechira, so it's connected, right? And it's, Gimel Dalet V'hei, not Gimel V'dalet, so you also need your Kefel, you need your Karen and you need your Kefel. And at the same time, it's a separate action. So the Rush says, oh, we don't really mean it in the Gemara. It sounds like we mean it, right? So really, the din is that Dalet V'hei depends on Shas Tvicha Mechira. Now that takes away a little bit from the Svara, because the din of Modo Miftar, right, applies as well to Dalet V'hei as it does to Kefa. Okay, that's not a problem right now. Anyways, the point I want to make is that the bigger point is that there is this massive argument all over the place. As Israel chiyuv lotzei sidei shamayim in knossos. Right? The Gemara says in Bava Kama, which we don't have in front of you, but and of ayin dalet, ayin base, I think. The Gemara says in Bava Kama, that, you know, Tebi, the Eved, you know, so his master, you know, loved him dearly, so he wanted to make a party when he knocked out his limb, you know, because he said, oh, Tebi can be free. You know, kind of an interesting. So the other Tana said, not so fast, like, you know, I hope you didn't, you know, put the down payment, you know, for the caterer yet. He said, you know that there's no evidence. It's just your word. Right? So Tebby's not going free. So that was a downer. Especially for Tebby, right? So the point is that, so the Gra says, the Rajba really, Ramban of the Rajba, you see from that Gemara that there's no din of lots of, I mean, he knows that he knocked the guy's eye out. So in Beis Din, maybe unless there's a Raya in Beis Din, unless there's Edim, you know, you can't force him. But he wanted to free him, right? He wanted a good excuse so he wouldn't violate Lolamem Sabodu. You know, but he wanted Tevi to be free. Right? So he and he wanted to do the right thing.
Poor planning.
Right? Really poor planning. So but Kamishmaya Galia, he really did he did the deed. And he knows he did the deed. So why can't he just, you know, Latsasine Shamayim? Why can't he free Tevi? So not all Rishonim agree. Some of them have a whole convoluted other explanation. But the Ramban, the Rajba, the Gra Alatar. So you see from this Gemara, there's no Latzei Sidei Shemayim in Knossos because it's a din in Beis Din. Beis Din can't go on the word of the Baal Davar. They need him. It has to be a formal din Torah. It's created by the Beis Din, and that's the whole issue. Rabbi Kivager also points out. That let's say a person wants to be mochel knossos. Can you be mochel knossos? Let's say the guy stole your article, right? And you want to be mochel the kefel or the dalad vehe, right? Or the shloshim shalev, or Tebi doesn't want to go free. Can you be mochel the knas? So the Rabbi Kveger and the Gra pointed out, I mean, again, it's Rishonim. It's Yerushalmi, basically. This is a debate in the Yerushalmi. And it's a debate in Rishonim how to read the Yerushalmi. And then I say, then the Gra, Rabbi Kveger, everybody weighs in on this question. It's an interesting question. It's a partly a Mechila question, maybe, but it's also a Knas question, meaning is Knas like a Dover Shalom Baliolim or not? Remember, the trigger action happened already. Right? You did it. You did the Geneva. Right? So can you be mochel the kefel? So you can mochel the karen. Right? Why can't you mochel the kefel? But maybe, it's only once as gvia bebezdin, or at least psak bezdin, then it becomes concrete. Until that point, maybe not. So it's like enonam mochel, dover shalom baliolam. So this is, there are many, many other issues. I mean, I'm not, I don't want to get into all of them. But these are big, big questions, and then the possibility of distinguishing between things, different types of knossos. We talked about it a little bit, and we'll talk probably next year if we learn it. But Palganiska knossos is one suggestion. Again, the difference between Kefal and Dalad Vehe is another. Shloshim Shalevet. There might be different types of knossos. Some are more correspondent, to the actual Maisa that triggers it. And others less so. With regard to Shavuos Ha'edus, we do not find differences. And again, that might be another reason to answer your simplest question, why I think both answers would fit. All three answers, I should say, would fit. Right? Either it's Hainuach, or it's a more moderate, this Gemara is a more moderate, and therefore doesn't require, the full, perspective of Chiyuv Beis Din. Or because maybe that allows for distinguishing at least between some of the knossos. And this appears to be a pretty across-the-board kind. Now, the one issue that comes up that we may have alluded to before, but we didn't talk about, but which we're going to in a minute, is the question of knas la'achar gmardin. Bepashtus, whenever you have knas la'achar gmardin, that's certainly, you know, there's no motive b'knas at that point. But once it's a gmardin, there's motive, no motive b'knas. And this is evident, you know, certainly, and also in the Gemara in Makos that we read last. We read the Gemara last week in Makos, right?
We did.
About Barchiu. So the Gemara there says there's a difference between, you know, if there's a debate regarding Hazama, you know, when a person, he said, oh, the Edom came, Edom Zoman came to court, and they said, Reuven murdered somebody, right, on Monday. Right, and then the other guy, the Edom, come and they say, impossible that you would know that because you're with us. Right, but he is a murderer, and the murder took place, they say either Monday or the earlier Friday. Right, what's a Bar Chiyuva and so on. Oh. So it's clear in the Gemara that Gemara has two types of cases when it comes to Knossos. One is, when did the Geneva or the Tvicha, or the Shalushim Shalavit, when did that event, the Edus and Bezin, about when that trigger action took place? Right? Then the Bar Chiyuva is until later. But let's say the discussion in Bezin is, oh, I was in California, and I dropped into the courts there, and I heard them convict Reuven, you know, for a knas. Right? That's not treated like knas in that sugya, Bar Chiyuva. Right? He's considered to be a Bar Chiyuva from the time that the courts actually pronounced the psak din. Even though he's not considered Bar Chiyuva from the time that he stole the object, or even that he did the tzvicha mechira. Everybody with me? Okay. So it would seem obvious, it is obvious, that certainly from the din of moda b'knas, the din of moda b'knas patur doesn't apply, you know, presumably, you know, once he's been convicted in court. He doesn't, you know, if he said, yeah, I was convicted in court, there's no moda b'knas patur, right? The pashtus is that the conviction in court turns the chiyuv knas into mammon, right? And certainly it eliminates asher yashin Elohim v'lo hamar shias atzmo, that's for sure. And there's nothing more to talk about. Which is why it is so fascinating that in the Gemara in Ksuvis, on Daf Mem Beis, that the Gemara is mistapek about a bunch of cases, but particularly seems with regard to Shuas Apikadon. What is the din of Shuas Apikadon, which I'll explain in a minute, about a chiyuv after Gmar Din. So you have that here? Here. Talmud Bavli Ksuvis Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Okay. Boy Mile Abai Mirapa. Everybody have it? 20. Line 20 on page 2. Boy Mile Abai Mirapa. Right, the guy says, you owe me money, knas money, for what you did to my daughter. And then he adds, right? And we already went to court. The court already found that I'm justified in my claim. Right, and they demanded that you pay. But he's denying everything. Doesn't matter. Even if you would only deny the last thing, it would be the same. But Binishba Bahuda. That's why this is Shua Sabikado. He says, I'll take a Shua. I have nothing to hide, right? Bring on the polygraph test. So he takes a Shua, and then later he feels badly and he admits. Right? So he took a Shavuos HaPikadon denying the knas la'achar hamad b'din. So the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Mai. What's the halacha? Kivin damad b'din mamon havoi. That we can understand. Once it's hamad b'din, this knas, the origins of the case are knas, but now they are converted into mamon because it was a psak din. U'mechai v'lei korban shua. Therefore, there should be a chiyuv korban shua. O Dilma, Afagav de Amad Bedin, Knas Hava. Wow, why would that be? Because Ikaro, the Gemara says later, Ikaro knas. Amalei mamonav, amichayv alei korban shvua, esvei, and so on. I don't have to go through the whole thing. The Gemara has a whole shock of Atariya back and forth. It's not so clear how they come out. Some of the Rishonim say, and the Bali Tosa say this in Ksuvis, in Yesh Beger Bekever, and then they say it in Sugya and Ksuvis, and also in Bava Kama, the Fayin Beis, Chamisha, Arba V'Chamisha Bakar V'lo Chatzi Bakar, big Tosas. There could be that Shvus HaPikadon is treated differently when it comes to the status of Knossos. That's another issue. Adam Morish Knas, Bito Labanov or not, in general, are Knossos subject to Yerusha? Let's say the father is the Balabais when it comes to his daughter's status for Knas, and he dies. Right? Can his heirs, the sons, step into his place in this Din Torah? And is there a difference when it comes to that between Lifnei and Lachar Amadah B'Din? Okay, that's a big, big question in Ksuvis, and in that's again Meruba and Bava Kama, and the Bali Tosas have different views that maybe with regard to Shvus HaPikadon, we treat these issues of Yerusha or Knossos differently. Similar question, is it Mammon? Is it subject to Yerusha? Right? Anyways, this is a very interesting question, and what it highlights, the very fact that there could even be such a question in Ksuvis, is that there's something called, or this Gemara is considering the possibility, this is another nofech to answer your question, but related, in other words, the Gemara is considering the possibility that Knossos don't have a shame mamon, even when there's no motive b'knas patur. Even when you no longer, it might have been created by Bezda, but right now it's an independent chiyah, and yet it still has a shame knas. So it's not so surprising, although it is very exciting, right, that the Ramban on Lamed Daled Amud Aleph raises the same question regarding Shavuos Eidos. Ramban, at one point in his understanding of the Gemara Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, says, I think this Gemara is asking whether or not there's a chi of Shavuos Eidos when Edim lie about their knowledge of a chi of Knas la'achar hamadah b'din. So what are you going to say about the modem? What does modem miftar have to do with anything? Meaning, since originally ibay modem miftar, therefore it doesn't have a shem mamon, and therefore even when it's chayiv and there's no longer modem miftar, that lack of shem mamon continues and is still koveya. Wow. So that's the Ramban. If you look here, second, and starting from line 28. This is line 31. The heavy odeya, shezeh knas shechiyav bo Rabbi Lazar, kegon shamad bedin. On the Gemara, not our Gemara Lamed Gimel, but the Gemara Lamed Daled Amal, when the Gemara talks about knossos and shuas eidos, it's a case of amad bedin. I mean, it was already after Gemara Din. So then the continuation, I'm not going to read it because it'll take too long, but the next few lines discuss the following question. What is the relationship in this question, namely, does Knas, la'achar hamada bedin, have a shame mamon, right, with respect to Shavuos Eidos? What is the relationship between that question and the question of the Gemara in Ksuvis, whether Knas L'Achar Amad B'Din has a Shem Mamon regarding Shavuos HaPikadon? Equal, better, or worse? And the Ramban seems to have three views. Could want better. Right? The full range. So that's the knas part of the sugya. So you see, again, it's just another little gem. You have this little perek, you know. It touches on everything. And, you know, in a very narrow, seemingly narrow way, because it's all about korban shvuos eidos. But it becomes like an opportunity, like it's a little window into isolating some of these issues and really clarifying, you know, some of the categories. These are big, big topics, obviously. Okay. So having done that, let's move on to the next topic. We already discussed the Karma Vidrava Mineh here also comes up. Let's go to the next Mishnah, which we've seen already, but I want to just talk a little bit about our show. We're not going to do a lot because, well, just to remind everybody, we don't have a shiur next week. Right? That's the one. It's Shavuos, right? So we're not missing anything, actually. Okay, good. But we continue the week after. Right? That's Memorial Day? People are around? I'm around.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, good. So that Monday, we'll continue. Okay. Okay. So the just very quickly, the Harsha is a big topic, and I want to get to some other things. We only have like 3-4 weeks or 3 weeks. So I'll try to do something in each week. Mashbian Aleichin, the Motavoy Vitoi, to Shani Cohen, Shani Levi, Shani. Shani. No, Shani. Oh, Shani, sorry. Ben Grusha, Shani Ben Chalutza. The guy wants him to come and testify about personal status, either what he is or what he's not. Right? He wants to be a Kohen and a Levi. Certainly doesn't want to be a Gru and Grusha ben Chalutza. She'ish ploni Kohen, she'ish ploni Levi, she'ino ben Grusha, she'ino ben Chalutza. Or about someone else. She'anas ish ploni as bito, pitas bito, she'chaval bi bini, she'chaval bi chaveri. Chaval bi bini is kam levi drav amine, is chayv misa. She'chaval bi chaveri, Shehidlik Gedishi B'Shabbos, right, that's Kom Leib Rav Aminei, Arelu Peturin. So basically the Mishnah has a bunch of cases where there's no Chiyuv Shavuos Eidos, when it comes to personal status, because that's not Mamon, even though it may have Mamon consequences, but that is a little bit Bakifin, that's a little bit more, you know, indirect. And the other one, of course, is if it's not his din Torah belongs to someone else. That seems to be an issue that we have to contend with, which Shingavar does, which we've seen already. And a little bit of Kamlev Drak. So the Gemara says, Tam of the Ish Ploni Kohen, the Ish Ploni Levi, right? Hamonul Ploni Biad Ploni, Chayavin. The case of a third party, says the Gemara, you know, seems to be limited to third party where there's no mamon involved. But had there been monetary consequence, the third party per se, right, doesn't seem to be a pagam. How could that be? After all, haktani seifa ad shishu pi atoveya. That really the din of shvuos eidos only applies when the toveya directly, right, demands his testimony. If a third party says, you know, you should come to court, or I demand you come to court, or will you come to court and testify for, not me, but him, right? That, even if the guy lies, it's a terrible thing to do, and refuses to come to court, but that's not a chiyuv shvuos eidos. The only person who can trigger a chiyuv korban shvuos eidos is the nidon himself, right? The toveya himself. So, the Gemara, that's what the Gemara's comment is. Tama, the Ishponi Koin, Ishponi Levi, Ha, Mona Leploni Biad Ploni, Chayavit. But Akhtani Seif, Ad Shishu Piatoveya. So here the Gemara's answer is Omar Shmuel, but Baba Harsha. Tama, the case where, had it not been the absence of a Dine Mamanis content, it would have been effective. Because we're talking about a harsha. Person is authorized to make this claim. So this, of course, opens up the question, what is a harsha? And why is it effective? So just the Gemara follows through a little bit. Didn't we? Again, we partially did this because we talked about the Ramban and the Rajba already. Didn't Nardai say that you're not allowed to write a harsha? On metaltalin. Here I have. That's not going to do much. I guess be a start. You know. No, no, I don't know. I feel like if I throw my Coke on it, maybe they'll neutralize each other. So, we'll create some magnificent, we'll get the marketers in here. We'll trademark it. Okay. So, look, Omenar Doi Lokasim Urksa Metaltalin, that you're not allowed to write a harsha on Metaltalin. So the Gemara says, Hani Mila Hecha de Kafre. Avalo kafre kasvinan. Only if there is, you can't produce a harsha, right, authorization to act on behalf of someone's claim, if it's metaltalin de kafre. If there is a dispute about whether or not the obligation exists. I can authorize him to collect for me if there's an acknowledged obligation. Right, this is not obvious at all, by the way, right? It's a reasonable provision, right? But it's certainly not, it's a sensible provision, but it's certainly not mukhrak in any way. But if it's controversial, in other words, if it's subject to dispute, so then we don't recognize the authorization. I guess the ability to have a third party intervene, right, is contingent upon the parties acknowledging the existence of the debt. Or the obligation. Very interesting. That's what the Gemara says. And that's what we saw, the Ramban and the Rajba weigh in. The Ramban was talking about how do you ever get a chi of korb. There's a debate here. Tosa says that this din, the hechad de lo kofre kosvinan, right, the Irish, achar shekosav lo harsha, right, kofar lo. Tosa says this rule that you can't write a harsha on a disputed obligation applies only if the dispute is already established prior to creating the document or the status. But once you write the document, then it becomes subject to a dispute afterwards. That's not a problem. So according to Tosis, there's no difficulty envisioning Shuas HaPikadon cases with Harsha. Ramban had the difficulty, I'm just repeating something that we discussed about a month ago. The Ramban quotes the Tshuva, the Rif. The Rif said in the Tshuva that the din of Ein Kosvin Urchasa Metalta de Kafri is not limited to situations where you haven't yet written the document. But if you write let's say there's no known controversy, and then you write this contract stipulating that he's authorized to collect on your behalf, and then the dispute, surfaces, it renders, right, the Shtar Harsha invalid. So that's where the Ramban and the Rajba and others were trying to say, well, then how do you ever get a case of Harsha in Shavuos Eidos? Because every case of Shavuos Eidos, there has to be a dispute. If there wasn't a dispute, why? What do we need the Eidim for? Right? That's what the Ramban and the Raj. So the Ramban came up with several answers, two and a half as I called them. But the main two are the Ramban thought that maybe we don't know if there's a dispute at the time. So we're trying to collect Adam in case there'll be a dispute. Then it turns out, that there was a dispute, but at the time, and therefore the Harsha is rendered invalid, but it wasn't invalid at the moment when the Mursha confronted the Eidim. And the Rajba omitted that answer, and I was suggesting that that's Lashita So, because he felt that, that is in Hefsed Mamon. If you don't know for a fact that the Eidim are necessary, then you can't assign to the Eidim the culpability of Hefsed Mamon. Because for all we know, there's not even a dispute. And even if there's rove disputes, but until we know, hard to say. So that's what I was suggesting, that the Ramban and the Rajba. But the Ramban and Rajba agree about the second answer, which is that the Ramban's second suggestion, which is that the din of Ein Kosfin Urchas HaMatalta the Kafri makes sense is based on Mechzik HaShikra. Right, we're not going to produce this authorization, you know, if there's a dispute. Like you're saying, oh, I represent his interest. His interests don't exist. Right? So that's one thing if it's his word against the other fellow's word. Right? So that kind of undermines the authorization. And again, even that isn't obvious, because you might have said, who cares? Shimon is an agent, or Levi is an agent of Reuven, you know, against Shimon. So what do we care what Shimon says? And according to, we're just trying to, you know, establish that Levi is an authorized spokesman for Reuven, whatever we think of his claim. That's why this notion of Mechzik HaShikra, it happens to be a little bit mechudash. Anyway, the Ramban says, fine, it's mechudash. I'm adding a little bit, but the Ramban says, it's fine, it's mechudash, and therefore we don't allow it, because we won't allow this position of authorization, you know, in the context of a dispute. But that's true if the dispute is, you know, kind of 50-50, meaning it's his word against the other guy's word. Like, for all we know, there's no Mursha because there's nothing to be a Mursha about. But if there are Edom in the case, right? So that seems to validate the notion that there should be a Mursha in the case. Right? It's not 50-50. It's not his word against his word. It's his word and the word of, and the possibility of. So that's the point. There'll always be a case of Shuas Edos and Mursha because the Edom are going to be the ones who, among other things, validate. The Harsha, they'll neutralize the Dekafre. Anyways, it's fascinating that the other view would think that that isn't true either. Meaning, even if Edom support the appointment of the Mursha, or the validity of the office of a Mursha, right? I guess a Mursha has to be acknowledged by both sides as representing some sort of a real task. So there's an interesting debate here about the din of Metaltel and the Kafre. Halacha, there's also debate in the Rishonim whether we paskin this way or not, whether we're choshesh from Mechzik HaShikra in general, whether we distinguish between different types of Mechzik HaShikras. As I say, this is a big issue when you fill out a ksuva. Mostly what we try to avoid, you know, the ksuva says, you know, this is the agreement between the parties, you know, Vikanina, and, you know, the Chasson made a Kenyan, you know, as to this effect, that, you know, Bimana de Kosham Makanya Bay, Vakol Sharir Vikaya. So in most Suvas, what they do is they leave out the word or the leg of the kuf, or whatever it is, of Vikanina until the Kenyan takes place, because again, it's Mechzik HaShikra. It says
Suvah's Mechzik HaShikra in certain parts of the country.
I don't know where he says Ani Ana Eflam.
See,
I never understood.
A couple of decades behind in the social commentary. So, but thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm serious, though.
What?
I'm serious.
Yeah. No. I wouldn't expect that you wouldn't be. So that's an example of Mechzik HaShikra, and some people are not so makbid for it because. I didn't mean it that way, but I hear. So anyway, so it's an interesting dispute in along the way, you know, whether or not Kosen Urchas HaMetaltelin. Or Al-Mataltan de Kafre, and what about Mechzik HaShikra, and what are the circumstances of Mechzik HaShikra? That's a topic in its own right. That I'm just touching on, but we're not going to get into it, obviously, very much. Good. So, what we are going to get into for a couple of minutes, and a little bit till next time as well, is what is a Harshal? So it's a massive topic, and it's a terrific topic also, but I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes talking about the range of different views, and we'll follow up, I guess, the next year. The requirement of Harsha'ah appears in two Gemaras. This Gemara is one of two Gemaras, basically. I can maybe argue it's the third. The Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Kuf Dalet, but mostly two Gemaras. This Gemara in the requirement of Mipia Toveya for Shavuos Ha'Edos, right? In order to impose a Shavuos Ha'Edos, you have to be a Toveya, you have to be the Baal Din. And this Gemara says that in Mursha, a person is Baal Mikocho. By the way, we had a discussion of Harsha when it came to Antler earlier in the year also. That's Yerushalmi. And it's not so clear that you need Morsha, but some of the Rishonim use the language of Morsha. If you remember, lawyers on Daf Lamed. But anyways, the point is that to be Mipia Toveya, by means of a third party, if that third party is a Morsha, then he qualifies. That's one. The second Gemara is a Gemara in Bava Kama. I mean, that's the main sugya in terms of the Rishonim. In Meruba, the Gemara Bava Kama Daf Ayin Omen Aleph. There, the Gemara uses the requirement of Mursha to explain why it is that the Lova, let's say, has to pay, has to send the money with this fellow, and he can't just refuse him, by saying, La baldvarm di diat. What?
We had this by
Antla. We had this?
By Antla,
it was all discussion. No, not this part, no. Now, Antla's a little different question.
We had this before, La baldvarm di
diat. I may have mentioned it there. But the Antla is slightly different, because that's me, Piam Vilon, Piam Turgaman. But, and it's a similar idea. Antler's idea that, you know, you have to come to court and answer yourself. This is a question, this labal drum didiat is, in terms of tashlumin, like let's say I agree that I owe you money, right? But I say, listen, I'll be happy to return, or I owe you money, I owe you a picado, whatever it is. I'll be happy to give it to you. But to you, right? I want to look you in the eye, I want to put it in your hand. Why, for insurance reasons? Because you're worried about something happening along the way. That's one factor. It seems mostly that we eliminate that when it comes to labal dron. It seems like labal dron didiat might be just a kind of a primal, that's a debate, primal right. Meaning I owe you money and I should pay. That doesn't mean I have to give it to who you want me to give it to. You know, maybe I'm only going to give it to you direct. I want to deal with you. Bar says that a mursha, right, is immune to la bal dvarim didiya. If he makes him a mursha, then there's no la bal dvarim didiya. Oh. So in both Gemaras, bepashtus, it would seem that a mursha, oh, let me read that Gemara. That's a Gemara Bava Kama. That's our new Gemara Makomos. That's a Gemara Bava Kama, Ayin Omen Aleph, which I sent very late, I admit. Amri Nahardai. Okay, the context here is very important, but we're not going to be able to finish it tonight, so we'll discuss next time. Lo kasvina nor chasam betalpin. Same idea. That's what our Gemara here is quoting. The main Gemara is Bava Kama. Lo kasvina, we don't write, and ur chasam means harsha. Right? An betalpin. Amravashi lemeir my taima. Amrle mishun rabbi Yochanan. This is why it comes into the sug in Bava Kama. Amrabbi Yochanan, gezov lo nisi ashua bailim, shneem, einam yecholim, excuse me, lahaktish. Zelefisheni shalom, zelefisheni brishusa. Rabbi Yochanan said that if somebody steals something, kodem yush, right, neither the ganav nor the nignav, or gazon and nigzal, are able to transfer the object to hektish, right, because zelefisheni shalom, meaning the gazlan or the ganav doesn't own it, therefore he can't give it to Hakdish. Can't make a donation of something he doesn't own. The Zel, if he's the bigger Kedish, is Zel, if he's Shener Breshusa. The Nignav, or the Nigzal, who is the owner, is the formal owner, but he's not in control of it right now, right? Because out of his Breshus. And therefore, it's called Eder Breshusa, and he can't be Makdish. Very important. So the Gemara says the reason that, originally, first view of Nahardoi, Lishna Kam Nahardoi, says, Lo Katsfin and Rokhsan Metaltali, the reason you can't write a harsha on metaltalin is because it's ainu b'shusa. Just like you can't be makdish a chayfetz a gazel, so too you cannot be. You can't be marsha on metaltalin for the same reason. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. What does that mean? No. Sounds like harsha is a kind of hakna. Right? You can't be makdish adavar shena b'shuso, and therefore you can't be marsha adavar shena b'shuso. Sounds like this is also like a stolen object, this is considered ainu b'shuso. If you send somebody to collect the debt is considered ainu b'shuso. A. And B, just like to be makdish, you need b'shuso to transfer ownership to hekdesh. So two, apparently to validate, to effectively utilize a mursha, apparently we have the same criteria. That's not so simple. We'll see whether or not this is makes the final cut or not. But that's the implication. Simple reading of the Gemara, Lishna Kam. Wow. Then you have Lishna Basra, so it's not so simple either. So Ika de Amri, the second law shown, Amri na doi lokasin and rokasam, metaltali de kafre. It's not a din across the board that you can't write a harsha right on Taltalin, right? Based on the equation to the din of Rabbi Yochanan, Zelavishen and Breshuso. Rather, it's something very specific about Metaltalin to Kafri, disputed Metaltalin, and it's midin, according to this Girsa on the Gemara that we have in the Bali Tosa, Tam of the Kafri, the Mitzik Shikra, because it looks like, you know, the. Again, you have this document, but according to one side of the, you want the document, you want to validate this guy to, you know, to intervene in this case. But half of the one side of this case says that he has no authorization to do anything because the person who's authorizing him has no standing, right? So that's Mexi Kashikra. It isn't really Kashikra, because what we're really saying is, whatever jurisdiction or rights or power he has, you know, he can transfer, you know, to his, you know, boy koach, his bokoach. But since it's Mexican Kashikra, it's like, oh, you know, that's good for the issue. You know, we think that this is, he's giving him nothing because he has nothing, right? So, therefore, lokasin roksam talta de kapre, the Mexican Shikra, Avalo Kafre, if there's no dispute about it, meaning the Lova says, yeah, I do owe you money, or the, you know, the Nifgad says, yeah, I do have your Pikadu, or whatever, right? But he says, I'd rather, I insist on giving it to you, I don't want to give it to some lackey, some third party, right? Then Kasvina. Oh. So then the Gemara goes on and says, Omer Nahardai, Urkasa de la Kasa Bay, the language, the text of the contract of a harsha has to write in it, zil don uzchi ve'apek lenafshech. Zil don uzchi, meaning the mursha is told by the marsha. In other words, the malva wants to collect his debt, or the mafkit, says to this third party, zil don uzchi, you go, right, and he uses the language zchi, which is a Kenyan kind of a language, right? The apik lenafshech, can take it for yourself. What does that mean? So, leis ben b'shasha. If you don't have that strong language, which implies some sort of a hakna, right? Then it's nothing. I mean, it won't work. My time, huh? Why not? Mishum d'amar leheich. The other guy will say to him, la'bal dron didiat. That's where this comes from. The guy said, I don't have to deal with you, you're a lackey. But if the contract, the Mursha contract says, Zil don apik lenafsheich, you can't say Labal Dvarm Didiyan anymore. Why not? So we'll have to see. Oh. Then the Gemara goes on. You can see every one of these lines is like, you know, fraught with meaning, the Frishon of the Beinam. Arabaya, ikasif le lamachsa le shal le shuravia, migde b'shtoy dina palga, b'shtoy dina kula. Also interesting. Let's say the guy says to him, I'm making you a partner, a junior partner. The Mursha. Marsha says, the Mursha, you know, go collect for me and a third of it is you keep, or half, quarter, whatever it is. It sounds like you don't need the zil don apik lanavshek in that case, because since he's a junior partner, right, the guy can't say to him, la'bal dron didiyat, on any of it. In theory, you could say, oh, you can't say la'bal dron didiyat on the quarter, on the third, on the half. But if he's a junior partner, apparently can't say to him, la'bal dron didiyat on any of it. That's a chiddush, right? Mishtoi dina kula. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Meimar, here's a major thing, itafas lo mafkina mine. Who? If the Mursha, right, refuses to give it up to the Marsha, or if the Marsha grabs it from the Mursha, even though he told him he could keep part. Zildon ve'apik lenafshech. What are we talking about here? It's pretty important to know, right? Rav Ashi Amar, kivin dekosvilei kol demesani mendina kabilis alai shliach shava. He thinks that the language is a language of shlichos. Hikadam reshut v'shavya. Some people say it's a partnership language. L'maynap kemina l'mitvas palga. Can he grab half? V'chos shliach shava. Some people have that gersa. Some people don't. Our time is almost up. So let me just pose the questions and then we'll just spend a few minutes next time. You can see from this Gemara, and a little bit from our Gemara, but of course the main Gemara is here in Bava Kamma, that the status of a Mursha, right, is potentially very complex. I mean, the very dinim, the two dinim that the Gemara, medina the Gemara, that you require a Mursha for, meaning to be considered a Toveya, in Shavuos Eidos, our Gemara, and to neutralize the taina of Laban Zemar Mdiniyat, right, both seem to establish Mursha as more than a shliach. Right, it sounds like a regular shliach wouldn't be enough. Even though we say Shluch HaShadim Kemoso, right? Sounds like you need a Mursha for Laban Dvarim, and you need a Mursha for being, to qualify as a Piyat Toveh. Does that mean if Shluch HaShadim Kemoso is not enough? First of all, is that true? It seems to be true. If it is true, does that mean you have to go to the other extreme? Namely, to emphasize some of these Zildon V'Apik L'Nafsheich, right, L'Shlish L'Revia, one reading in a Meimar B'Tafas L'Mafkina Minei. Namely, is the only way to justify Mursha beyond Shliach to say that he's really Konev. Or that there's some sort of arrangement. He's Konev temporarily, then he's going to be Machnev. Almost like a, you know, Matana Manas Lahaknos kind of a situation, or a Kinyan Manas Lahaknos. Or is there something in between all of those? So it depends very much how to read these lines and these dinim. What we find in the Rishonim is a tremendous range of these. Balamor and Bava Kamma, we'll see inside next time, is of the opinion that lahalacha, a shliach can do whatever a Mursha can do. It's no difference between shliach and a Mursha. And the question is, what does he do? How does he read the Gemaras? That's one extreme. In the other extreme, you have the Rajba, who all over Shas, in Shavuos and Bava Kamma especially, again above a Basra, Huf Chavav, and in a Tshuva, which is almost word for word what he writes in the Chidushim. The Chidushim in Bava Kamma and the Chidushim in Shavuos are almost word for word, but they're not. I mean, the order is a little different, some words are different. I mean, it's two different pieces. I mean, the Rajba was very into this topic, is what I'm trying to say. He wrote a very, very lengthy discourse on it a few times, and was very consistent and very mechudash. The Rajba took the opposite extreme view, that Mursha is a real Kenyan. But in order to kind of sustain that, he was forced to completely re-evaluate and reread the Din of Rabbi Yochanan and the relationship between Hekdesh and regular Kenyan. I'll show you that next slide. It's a great window, again. Until, you know, you take a certain stand, a certain position, you know, you have to deal with the fallout of the evidence, and that can sometimes have tremendous repercussions, you know, the ripple effect of taking a view. Now, why a Rishon, or why an authority, a legal authority, religious legal authority, you know, takes a position? Obviously, the global evidence in Tote, when you weigh all of the, if I'm convinced that this is what this means, you know, it comes with that implication, you know, and you know, ends up having repercussions for this other issue too. you have to kind of be roa, you know, all the nolads, and decide that that is what is the most plausible explanation. So this is a great example of that, the Rashba, how in taking a strong view, which is more compelling in a narrower way in one respect, ends up forcing him to make certain very subtle conclusions that are extremely consequential. The Ramban and the Bali Tosis, I think, ended up in the middle, but in the middle in two different ways. The Bali Tosis, I believe, ended up seeing Harsha as a kind of super shliach, but within the worldview of shlichas. And the Ramban, I'm simplifying it a little bit, but you'll see next week, Ramban and Mechamos and Bava Kama, and here in the Chidushim in Shavuos, and really earlier the Ravid in Tmim Deim, and a little bit in his Parish on the Rif, took a kind of a very, very nuanced view of like what the Ramban calls, you know, like a double track, you know, view. Literally says, Harsha's Arkavi Atrei Rikshi. It travels on two tracks. It's a hakna vis-a-vis the, you know, the nitva, and it's a shlichus vis-a-vis the toveya. But what he means by that, you know, are these tnaim, you know, extraneous tnaim, or does he mean that there's really something in the halacha that's kind of in between being an agent and being, you know, a partner, you know, or a recipient? And what is that, and what examples does he cite, you know, to justify such a category? So it's a very interesting topic. So that's what we'll pick up with after Shavuos. If people want to, like, over Shavuos, you know, if you want to, you know, yeah, Bar Makobos, you know, keep six pages of them. Very long pieces, I guess. There's more also. Go on, Mordechai.